Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony and our worship this morning. It's a blessing to be together, and I'm grateful for your choice to be here, especially if you're visiting or recently been attending. I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge that you came in on, and we have a team member there who would be happy to answer any questions you may have about the church. Just a few announcements for today. You can always peruse the beautiful bulletin and do take that home with you as a resource, but this coming Saturday we have a half-day centering prayer retreat, and that starts in the afternoon. It's an afternoon retreat, 1 o'clock, and that retreat will take place here in the sanctuary, and I invite you to pre-register online or by calling the church office. That helps us in our preparations, but is a meaningful way to take space in your week in the silence with others. Also, we have a class called Introduction to Centering Prayer, and we do that about 3 times a year. It's a refresher for anyone who's wanting to know more about centering prayer or go deeper into centering prayer, especially if you don't have a meditative practice. I really encourage you to explore this class. It starts on Saturday, July 20th. It's a Saturday morning class, and then there's subsequent 6 or 7 weeks of videos on centering prayer. So really encourage you to explore that if you feel drawn to that. I saw Lori Raymond walk in. I don't know where she's sitting, but I wanted to say a personal thank you to her for playing the minister role last Sunday. I listened to the service, and it was just such a powerful message. I'm still processing the call to action and the invitation to integrate contemplation and action. It's just something in my life I'm really sitting with and living into, and I know that she blessed all of us last week who were here. So thank you, Lori, and I just give thanks to God for the grace of this community and how the community loves itself by doing your practice, really. People ask all the time, what can I do? And I said, well, do your practice. And that's what we can give to one another. And we see the fruit of that in so many different ways, through Seva this morning, through Lori last week, through the gift of your presence here today. So thank you all for your desire to love God more. Well, let's take a moment and ask the Spirit to bless each of us today. Whatever has brought you here today, whatever is occurring in your life, all is well and everything belongs. May this service feed us deeply in wisdom and love. Amen.
Amen. Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. We're going to begin with an Om, which Stuart will lead. If anyone would like to join Stuart in the Om, feel free. That's going to continue throughout the song. Oh, Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, giver of this moment that we stand in with such graciousness and beauty as a community, we ask that our lives would be bathed with the light of wisdom, comforted by the grace of your love, and inspired to live lives more according to the voice of your truth and wisdom. We ask that this service would be a blessing to each of us in our journeys deeper into your love, and in so doing, bless the world. Send us home changed, transformed, never the same, in just the right way we need. We ask these things in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen.
Amen. Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 3.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become one like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
With a story like that, it's amazing anyone ever comes to church. That passage and these passages we've been pondering in the book of Genesis, they're foundational to our psychic consciousness as a culture, to Western civilization as a whole, and they are not unsimilar to other mythic stories of creation around the world from different indigenous cultures, all the way back to the Gilgamesh epic and all sorts of creation stories that are touch points trying to answer the deep basic questions that all of us answer. Where did we come from? Why do we die? Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? These are the deep questions that these ancient myths are trying to answer. There's plenty of wisdom in this story, and I'm not going to get into so much of it, because I want to share what I got from this passage and how it spoke to me in the last couple weeks I've been pondering it. And it's a very different interpretation than so many of the interpretations I have ever heard in my life. It comes from my own inner application of the ideas through my practice of centering prayer and being in the silence. In other words, what I'm going to share is just the fruit of the silence. It's really the fruit of me doing Lectio Divina on this passage, if that makes sense. I just want to start with a quote from an incredible man and teacher and scholar by the name of Bessel van der Kolk. And some of you may have heard of him. He's a trauma specialist. He's written several extraordinary books. This quote is from his book, The Body Knows the Score or Keeps the Score. And he writes this: as human beings, we belong to an extremely resilient species. Since time immemorial, we have rebounded from our relentless wars, countless disasters, both natural and man-made, and the violence and betrayal in our own lives. But traumatic experiences do leave traces. And I would add traumatic texts like the scriptures we've been pondering in the book of Genesis. Traumatic scriptures leave traces, whether on a large scale, on our histories and cultures, blame the women thing, or close to home, traumatizing our families with dark secrets being imperceptibly passed down through the generations. They also leave traces on our minds and emotions, on our capacity for joy and intimacy, and even on our biology and immune systems. Trauma affects not only those who are directly exposed to it, but also on those around them. And we tend to pass on that trauma unknowingly from time to time in our lives, acting out at the unconscious level from a deep wound. The story of the creation and the fall, as it is called, of what happened here in this passage, doesn't really explain where evil came from, why it's present, what the serpent represents. And you can go down many rabbit holes to explore these ideas. But to simplify things, here are two principles that we'll talk about this morning that I think are a personal application to some of the wisdom in this passage. The first point is a question. What voice do you listen to? What voice do you listen to? And the second question is, what story do you tell? What story do you tell? So first, what voice do you listen to? And then what story you tell? I was visiting my family last week, and I was talking to my sister on the phone, and I had the Google Map woman telling me the directions. And as I'm talking to my sister, the Google Map lady talks over me, and she says, turn left on Highway 94, and I say, shut up! And my sister says, what? I'm sure this has happened to you as well. I was so frustrated by Google's voice, and I'm trying to listen to my sister's voice. We all understand this. We can understand the diversity of influences that we are exposed to on this planet. The voices outside, so to speak, the various voices that are speaking to us from culture, from scripture, from work, from family, from church, all the different influences that are occurring as a voice in your life. And we're going to talk about influences in just a moment, but what I'm more interested in, really, are the inner voices here that I know in myself and am discovering more in myself, and that you have these inner voices as well. For example, what I've been discovering is that one of the most powerful voices in my psyche, in my being, is a cluster of voices that I would just simply call imagination. And these voices in my imagination can so captivate my mind and my thoughts that my emotions get hooked in. And I want to give you a very specific example because I think it's very appropriate for the human condition. So I was really worried about someone and concerned, and I didn't have all the information. And in the absence of information or communication, my imagination and this voice inside of me started to make up a story. And this imagination and this voice turned into a deep pit of fear right here, and I just became overwhelmed with the sense of fear, all because I was listening to this voice of imagination that was spinning a story that this has happened and this is occurring and this is why. And I had no clue about the truth of anything of these voices that were saying, but my body believed them. My body didn't deny them, didn't try and fight back. My body instantly absorbed the energy of those voices and the imagination spinning. And in one sense, it ruined several hours of my day and kept me anxious and unsettled. And here's the most important thing, not present to the people I love and wanted to be with. That in the back of my mind were these voices of imagination telling stories, spinning, and impacting my body. This is a very practical example of, I think, the human condition of the various voices that are in us, that speak to us, that, so to speak, get on the microphone and take over. But the most important thing to recognize is the way those voices then influence our feelings and our sensations in our body. And it's very important to begin to realize and wake up to these patterns. What voice are you listening to? Because the voice we are listening to will shape how we're feeling, and how we're feeling will oftentimes shape what we're doing. And it's all interconnected. There is a remedy, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to read a passage from Maurice Nicol on influences. And this is from Commentary Volume 4, from the Psychological Commentaries on Uspensky and Gurdjieff. And I'll be reading from page 1277. What is this clamor, this inner talking in us? These different voices. It is different eyes talking, capital I, eyes talking. If you do not yet understand practically that there are different eyes or voices in you, and that we are not one but many, then such an occasion gives a good opportunity to see the connection of what the work teaches with the nature of our being. It says that our psychological being is characterized by a lack of unity. It is not one I, one Peter, one self, but many conflicting eyes and voices. It is disconnected. It is a disconnected many. It is a legion. It is not one integrated unity, as is our physical being. All the different parts of our physical bodies act in unison as one organism that is given to us. But we have no corresponding unity given us as regards our psychological being. We have no corresponding unity in our psychology. And that is what the work can make. Now, if you can hold yourself apart from taking sides with any of the voices that begin to talk when you are in a state of resentment or fear or whatever, you will be able to observe different eyes or voices at work. There are some extreme eyes at work who perhaps use pictures in place of words and make you have visions of strangling an enemy or burying him secretly or whatever it might be. So swift is that imagination of revenge that you cannot stop it. It rushes through your body, but what you can do is not to mix your will with it. That is, to not identify with that voice, not to obey the voice. Other eyes are less extreme but more subtle. These eyes suggest various clever things to bring about the downfall of someone else who has insulted you. Well, have you observed these scheming eyes in you, these voices that scheme? But reflect, you do not need to go with them. That is, you need not identify yourself with them. For if you do, they have power over you. If you identify with the voice, if you listen to it, if you obey it, they have power over you. That is, you are under their influence. And this is the whole point. Now, a person who is full of resentment or other negative emotions and believes it, puts himself or herself under negative eyes. The work says that negative emotions have the power to go on and on by themselves. In fact, if you find by self-observation that some resentful feelings and resentful thoughts keep going on and on in you, then you can be sure that you are suffering from a negative emotion. This will eat up everything good and healthy in you, eventually, like a fever, if you allow it to go unchecked. Observing the multitude of voices within. Just do it right now. You're hearing my voice. But in the silence, just notice what other voices are occurring up in your head. You might just close your eyes. Perhaps there's stillness. Perhaps there's a cacophony. But you can verify this very easily for yourself. Not only here, but elsewhere. And the invitation is to be disciplined to not let these voices go unchecked. To be disciplined and to have a practice that does something with the voice, not just listen to it and identify with it. And this is my problem, is this, that I didn't, number one, know the voices so clearly, and that is my waking process. My transformation process is beginning to, oh, here, that's that voice. Or, see, I see you, that voice in me. When I believe you, I do these things. When I hear you and listen to you, I feel these things. And I don't like that. I've heard you before. I know where this goes. And so we become educated about our voices. And it's very, very important. It takes time to self-discover and to grow in self-knowledge and to study oneself. But it's not only just this awareness or study of one's voices. It's this important thing is to stop listening to the voice, to be disciplined in such a way that you don't let it go unchecked and move from the thought to the emotion to the sensation. And for me, one of the practices that I've been really doing a lot to deal with this negative energy of fear here that has come up from these imagination thoughts of this or that is to, first of all, pay attention to my breathing, just letting the breath take me deeply in and follow the breathing. And this is classic mindfulness. This is classic meditation. Get out of the thoughts and get into the breath. And that has helped. But I've discovered that sometimes that even doesn't resolve the sensation in my body, in this part of my belly, the fear, the anxiety. What I've discovered is that I need to pay attention to something else in my body, and this fear knot starts to dissolve. So what I've been doing is, while I'm breathing deeply, I'm sensing every little micro inch of my foot as I walk. The pressure on each foot as I walk. And that is all I'm paying attention to. The sensation of weight on my feet. And if I do this long enough, it checks the thoughts of imagination and fear, and it dissolves this knot. Now, recently, I had to lie in my bed and breathe in deeply, and did this for 10 or 15 minutes, and that seemed to dissolve that knot of fear as well. And so you can do different things to help deal with the fact that these thoughts, these voices that we listen to, impact our bodies in significant ways. And we must be disciplined about it. We can't just let the system do what it does. Otherwise, it will just never change. We'll just always be the same. Our thoughts will remain the same, and because of that, our feelings will remain the same, and because of that, our sensations in our body will remain the same. We will respond and react predictably, and that is a source of suffering and perpetuation of the trauma of our own life and in other people's lives. The spectrum of consciousness is always broadcasting. The spectrum of consciousness is always broadcasting. And like, you know, cable television now, there's 1,000 channels on. And, you know, there's so many signals you can pick up on, so many voices you can listen to. But there's something deeper that is constantly broadcasting, and that is the spectrum of consciousness. And one of the things that I have appreciated about the consciousness studies and those teachers of consciousness is that say, if you're in resentment, you're not going to jump all of a sudden and be in joy. But you could move very subtly, energetically, from resentment to a sense of okayness. You might not go from resentment all the way up to joy, but you could go from resentment to passiveness or okayness or irritability. You can always go one step deeper or farther higher in energy, in that level of consciousness. So you may not be able to get from fear to love just like that, but you might be able to get from fear to peace. And the spectrum of consciousness is always broadcasting, and our capacity of our spirit to pick up on that broadcast is always available. We just need to decide what we're going to give our attention to and ask for help. The other aspect of what voice are you listening to, you know, the serpent represents the voice of seduction, the voice of wisdom, sly, worldly wisdom, the voice of questioning truth, spinning truth, lying in a subtle way. You know, the serpent represents that voice, and there's all sorts of aspects of that voice in our lives. But the invitation to listen as a remedy to so many of the other voices that are broadcasting, the remedy of listening to the voice of silence. It's paradoxical, but the sound of silence is a voice that speaks its own language beyond words. And thus the remedy for so many of our challenging voices that are trying to speak to us and command us and direct us is listening to the voice of silence. The image I have of this, of being still and silent, is like bedrock granite. And all my thoughts, feelings, and sensations is like a glacier slowly churning over that bedrock granite. And the bedrock granite is immovable. It may get scarred and gouged by the moving of that glacier, the thoughts, the voices, the feelings, the sensations. But the stillness and the silence is that bedrock unmovableness, and it's a source of great joy. And you can say, ha, there you go. Just moving there. I'm not you. You're just life happening over on top of me, gouging me away. Go for it. I'm not you. I see you. And that image is grounded in the depth of silence through meditative practice, that each of us can cultivate, that we just sink into that silence, and no matter what voices are going on, there's something deeper. And we all go through this process when we're going to sleep. You know, we've got tons of voices when we're going to sleep, usually. Thinking, 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 and then all of a sudden you drop into another place, and it's not thinking, and you're able to go to sleep. And so it's not an unusual experience for any of us to discover this process of listening to the voice of silence as a beautiful remedy. So, you know, use your breath, use your body, give attention to something else, listen for the voice of silence, tune into a different broadcast on the spectrum of consciousness. These are all practical ways to discover what voice you're listening to, and to begin to recognize the voice of your father and your mother and your grandfather, all the way back through the lineage of sad human history, the voices that have been speaking through us without our even awareing of it, the racism, the hatred, the aggravation, the lack of love, all of these voices through various words and swearing and various means of expression and euphemisms that come out in this unconscious way. The voice of culture, the voice of the serpent is still very speaking loudly. And we pick up on that voice and perpetuate it. So part of the process of healing and evolving humankind in each of our lives is first of all realizing that there's a multitude of voices going on, and then choosing more consciously and deliberately which voice we're going to believe, and then most of all which voice we're going to speak from. This voice of love, this voice of silence, this voice of wisdom, this voice of connectivity, this voice of truth. These are opportunities for us each to grow this week. What voice are you listening to? And then secondly, from this passage, we learn what story do you tell? What story do you tell? And this speaks so deeply to me because, like imagination that feeds the story that I am believing in any given moment, I have discovered that I perpetuate my story by shifting blame or shame. I tell my story so often by shifting blame or shame away from myself onto someone else, something else, another situation, an event, fate, circumstances, God, but shifting it as far away from me as possible. Shifting blame and shame is the name of the game in our culture. It's how we tell our stories of sadness and difficulty and why things have happened the way they have, especially when we feel they haven't gone very well or haven't gone the way we like. But it's all the more so when they do go the way we like and we tell our story as if we have been the center of our existence and the source of our strength and success, that we place ourselves at the center and shift our success away from God as the giver of gifts to ourselves. So there's all sorts of ways in which we can tell our stories where self is at the center, and we miss the opportunity to ever grow or discover something more about our story, the larger story that is beyond the script that we have written for ourselves. Because perhaps it's too painful to believe a different story or to even see or acknowledge and admit that you had a part in the story, that you had had a part in the process of creating your story. This is another aspect where we see justifying. We tend to justify ourselves so very deeply. We justify our behaviors, we justify our actions, we justify our lives. And this is exactly what Adam and Eve both did. They shift the shame and the blame, and then they justify. And this is a classic way in which human beings tell their story and miss the opportunity for transformation. Because we're stuck in self-justification versus transformation. We're stuck in shifting blame and shame versus acknowledging through confession the truth and thus being set free. Because we know truth frees. Seeing is freeing. Telling is freeing. And lastly, this aspect of lying, shifting shame and blame, justifying, and the power of lying. And I'm not just talking about kind of the white lies we tell or sometimes things we don't say to prevent someone from being hurt or to protect someone. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. What I'm talking about is the deliberate act of the will to not acknowledge the truth yourself, whether you tell anyone or not. When you believe the lie, you're duped, and we're stuck in it. The invitation here is to tell our stories more truthfully and to not get stuck in the story that we have told ourselves and believe it so much. Just a short reading from Tara Brach, whose book Radical Acceptance has been a blessing to me recently. And this is what she says from a Buddhist perspective that resonates really deeply with me. Clearly recognizing what is happening inside us and regarding what we see with an open, kind, and loving heart is what I call radical acceptance. If we are holding back any part of our experience, if our heart shuts out any part of who we are and what we feel, we are fueling the fears and feelings of separation that sustain the trance of unworthiness. Radical acceptance directly dismantles the very foundations of this trance. Radical acceptance flies in the face of our conditioned reactions and stories about ourselves. When physical or emotional pain arises, our reflex is to resist it, not only by stiffening our body and contracting our muscles, but also by contracting our mind. We lose ourselves in thoughts about what is wrong, how long it will last, what we should do about it, and how the pain reflects our unworthiness. A physical pain, such as a backache or a migraine, might turn into a commentary story on how we don't know how to take care of ourselves, how we don't eat well or exercise enough. The pain might make us feel like a victim. It might tell us we can't count on our body, that things will always go wrong for us. What a story. In the same way, we amplify our emotional pain with our judgments and stories. Feeling fear or anger or jealousy means something is wrong with us, that we are weak or bad. When we get lost in our stories, we lose touch with our actual experience. Leaning into the future or rehashing the past, we leave the living experience of the immediate moment. Our trance deepens as we move through the day, driven by, I have to do more to be okay, or I am incomplete, I need more to be happy. These mantras reinforce the trance belief that our life should be different from what it is. And this trance is really the state that human beings have been living in outside of the Garden of Eden, so to speak, that we are separate from God, that we feel this sense of separation from God. And this is a trance, and we are waking up from it as a species. And the power of what we can do, the effect of tuning into a different level of consciousness, of choosing not to believe certain voices, of seeing the stories that run our lives, this work that we do on ourselves impacts not only our bodies and our lives, but also the world. There's a study called epigenetics, the study of how genes are shaped by what we do, what we think, what we feel. And this is a quote from a fellow by the name of Adam Rutherford in his book, A Brief History of Everyone Who Ever Lived, The Human Story Retold Through Our Genes. A great book. And this is his quote, and this is going to be the application and homework for us. The world in which we live is shaped by us, by our practices and our culture, by our very existence. And our DNA responds to that in turn. Genes, DNA changes culture, and culture changes genes. We need new creation stories. We need a new book of Genesis. We need new myths, and we're writing them in our lives through the practices of silence and doing the inner work. We are waking up to a whole new way of being as a species, and it's changing our DNA. We literally are becoming new men and new women. And this is a long-standing process that we get to play our part in this time. But the invitation for us isn't just to ponder these things on the spiritual level. The invitation is to literally be transformed into new creations, new DNA. New DNA that isn't alcoholic like my father. New DNA that isn't full of anger and hatred like I used to be when I was 20 years old. New DNA that is more patient and loving and kind to my mother when I see her in her recurrence. This is the kind of new transformation that comes when we listen to different voices and tell different stories about ourselves and about the ones we love and about this planet. Just start listening to a different voice and just start telling a different story. Practice that this week in a very simple way. Perhaps there's a voice you know you don't need to listen to anymore. And perhaps there's a story that could be tweaked a little bit that would tune it up in consciousness from resentment to peace, and maybe up to joy, and you never know where it can go from there. What voice are you listening to, and what story are you telling? These are the two insights that I heard as I let that scripture wash over and through me and moved it from an old myth into a present-day practice of freedom. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We have a new community chant this week. So I know we usually hold hands, but you may want to take one hand and hold your bulletin so you can see the words, so you can sing with us, because the act of singing together is a deeply connecting act. We're singing, Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening.
Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.
Amen. By the grace of God, each of us exists and takes into our hands a symbol of our support on this planet. We take into our hands our tithes, gifts, and offerings and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings, the fruit of love for you and for this community, to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from the voices of fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to step into some deep time. Take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time.
Sun is warm on my shoulders. On this morning bright and clear, there's no past to regret, no future to fear.
I want to step into some deep time, take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time. I want to hear time breathe. Alive like me and you.
seeking lovers to conceive. Moments of wholeness and truth.
I want to step into some deep time. Take a break from the stopwatch grind.
Living on a clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time.
I don't need a mountaintop. I just close my eyes and let the world stop.
Step into some deep time. Take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time. I want to step into some deep time.
Let us now rest in the silence with the beloved in centering prayer for 10 minutes, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's presence, love, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your new Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, all of you. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Bread and wine, may
bread and wine. May this bite of bread and the sip of wine meet an open heart and an open mind, open to change and eager to find the bread. Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Thank each of you for your presence here today, for contributing to the field of consciousness that is occurring in worship Sunday by Sunday. May the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit speak to you this week and be the ground of your story. Amen.
Amen.